Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky with Elena Svetzlot, and we are here to talk about parenting. And in particular, right now, we're going through various common issues that parents face. So you might want to bookmark our podcast and look at the various episodes that are coming out that address real challenges that parents are facing right now. So yeah, very important stuff. And Elena, I'm glad that you're with me and we can get on this phone call. I know you're hours ahead of me in these conversations, but getting on the phone and talking about parenting, I think is great. So let's do that. Why don't you introduce our subject for today?
Yeah, and I also want to say, Dr. Scott, it's a privilege to be talking to you about this and to get your wisdom and years of experience to help parents all over the world. Actually, our podcast is listened all over the world to encourage, bless, and teach parents how to deal with challenging family situations and to give them hope and to bring change. So thank you for that as well. I was mentioning to you before we started the recording that perhaps today feels like it's an answer from God for me, because the topic is what to do when kids say no. And I think there is not a parent in this world that has not experienced children saying no to them. In fact, even today I said to my son, you're not allowed to say no to me. Children say no a lot when we ask them to do things, even though we work with them on specific answers that we want to hear most of the time. But there are, you know, days and days and situations, and children respond like that. What do we do when kids say no, Dr. Scott?
Well, I think that when kids say no, it's about control. Okay, so they don't want to do what they've been told to do, or they don't want to give up something that you've asked them to give up, or something. And so they say no. And I think parents make a mistake sometimes by entering into arguments with their kids to try to persuade them, or try to have this discussion in a way that's going to persuade the child to do the right thing. And I do think kids need to do the right thing, but a lot of dialogue at this point is usually unproductive, because almost anything you say, a child's going to have an answer to and a reason for. One thing we can do is we teach children what to do, not just what not to do. So I think that if we look at this from a theological perspective, okay, we're asking the question about saying no. I mean, would you say no to God? Well, no, you wouldn't. Why not? Because our job is to be servants. And this idea of servanthood in our lives is so strategic, because what do servants do? They say yes, and or yes, sir, yes, ma'am, or okay, I'll take care of it right away. You know, there's this attitude of servanthood that we need as believers, and I think children can learn this at an early age. Yeah. I think your words that you're saying to your son that say we don't say no to mom are really good words to use with kids. So what that's doing is stopping the process earlier. Instead of having a long dialogue about this, we're saying, whoa, whoa, wrong response. We don't say no to mom. Try again. Because what should they be doing? They should be saying, okay, mom.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or okay, dad. You know, and so they've got this response. We're teaching them, and then we're practicing it a lot so this child can learn how to respond. This is one of the things I think is a strength about the coaching program that we have. Because it's not just about stopping a problem like defiance. It's about building something new, which is responsiveness to authority, or being able to give up your agenda, or being able to do what I need to do, even if I don't want to do. I mean, that's what we start with in week one, by working on the instruction routine and helping parents to, you know, have their child come when called. I mean, I don't think every child needs to come immediately when parents call them, but some children need therapy in this, because they always have in their heart this answer. No, no, no. Yeah. And so I think for a period of time, we might have a child practice coming when called every time we call their name. Yeah. Because we're going to practice having you come, and the words that come out of your mouth next are yes, mom. Because we're trying to, Jesus is the one who says to us, it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. So what we're going to help them do is speak the right words in order to influence this heart of servanthood and giving up their agenda, becoming emotionally flexible. It's just not. So your statement to your son about, hey, you don't say no to mom, I think is a really good idea. And it falls into this category of stopping the process earlier. instead of allowing it to continue on. And sometimes stopping the process earlier means earlier in their child's life. You know, we're going to, when we see that attitude at 3, 4, or 5 years old, we're not going to wait till they get to be 14 before we start working on this. But other times it means in the course of a episode, in a day, you know, you give a child an assignment and they say no. What are you going to do at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's best, I'm not saying you have to escalate with a child, but I do think what you're going to do is say, whoa, we got a problem here. Okay. It sounds to me like we need to take a break or we need to get off the computer for a bit because it sounds like your heart is in the right place. And what we're doing is we're teaching children that, you know, as soon as you say no, you get a problem. And that means we're not going to allow this to continue on here.
Yeah. Yeah. And even sometimes I don't even say, I don't even say you cannot say no to me or something. I say, what is the right answer actually when I call you or I ask you something? The right answer is, yes, mom, what can I do for work? How can I help? Or, okay, mama. And actually the Bible, if you look at how Samuel was answering or David or when God was calling, the answer was, here I am. They were already there. You know, even God was just calling their names and they were saying, here I am, or not, what do you want? What can I do? So definitely an idea of expectation. And I think it's not too much to ask, especially if you notice that children are delaying or dragging. It's good to have that sense of urgency. And I try it with my son who has ADHD to say, you need to come immediately. Just as you hear, just drop everything and come, because they're playing, they do something else, they forget. And I think it's important to keep that. Yeah. And I think one other important thing not to do is when your children say no is to to get involved in emotions or to emotionally become upset. And I think indeed, if you could have a response that prepares to get out of that, to go on the process side rather than on to escalate, that's very helpful. We work a lot with young children and teaching them just what you mentioned earlier, coming when called, giving the right answer. What happens when we work with older children who, let's say there's a parent coming to this coaching or training when their kids are 10, 11, 12, 13, I don't know, older, and it's a bit more, it's different. How do you advise them?
Yeah, that's a good question, because when a young person says no, then there's obviously a defiance that's going on. So usually it's some kind of defiance. I think we need to stop the process again and say, wait a minute. Saying no to me is a disrespectful thing to do. We need to talk about this. If you want to appeal, I think we teach kids a wise appeal sometimes, but we're saying you can't just say no to me. When I tell you you need to go finish the dishes, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do I need to go to a consequence here? Or can you just respond to that and move forward? So I think our teenagers sometimes are driven by their emotions. And when they're driven by the emotions, then they want control. They just start trying to control the situation with their parents by saying no. And if parents just allow that to continue over and over again, then it emboldens children. I think that sometimes we say, look, when I tell you to do something, I'm trying to be sensitive to a lot of things. I'm sensitive to your needs, but sometimes you need to just give up your agenda and do what I'm asking you to do. And so if you say no to me, it tells me we have a problem. And if we have a problem, then I need to do something about it. And I can go to consequences with you, but I'd rather not do that. Now, if we do go to consequences, then we want to use consequences differently than in a behavior modification plan. We're using consequences to say something like this. Look, here's what's going to happen. Okay. I'm going to take away your iPad because you're being disrespectful to me. But I want to give it back to you. And so I want you to demonstrate to me that you can be responsive over the next couple of days. I want you to be looking for ways that you can add energy to the family, contribute to what's going on. And if you can, then I'd be happy to give you electronics back. But for now, all electronics are off the table because we can't allow this to continue. What that does when you tell the child, here's how you can get it back, is you transfer responsibility to the child. Now it's no longer the parent who's hiding the iPad in the freezer or under the bed or something. Now the parent is saying, I want to give your iPad back. I want you to have it back. So I'm going to give it to you. But in order to give it to you, you have to be able to demonstrate that you're contributing or you're doing the right thing. Demonstrate that, and then I'd be happy to give it back to you.
Yeah, and I think if I can just take, like, even taking a step back, and if parents are starting this kind of training with children, even having that meeting, you know, where you explain to your child very well in advance the kind of answers you expect from them, the kind of attitude you expect in terms of when they should be reacting, and just, you know, really laying things out very clearly for kids so they know exactly what you expect from them and how you expect things from them. I think it's also very important, because if you just expect them to know certain things without you having kind of set things up, I think that that can also create a lot of, a lot of conflict between the two. And yeah, it's quite important to constantly, have that conversation, maybe every week, to say, hey, I just want to quickly remind you, you know, whenever you have a quiet moment with your kid, these are the things that we expect. The reason why we do this is because we want to have a better relationship, or, you know, feel more quietness in our home. And I think it's important to establish that. But of course, we're now going back into the strategy, and I don't want to go back to that in this episode, because we already have a lot of episodes on strategy. But I think parents who are interested to learn a bit more about overall how we start process, how we start the training, they should be going back and listen to some of the episodes we recorded previously. But yeah, I think if you already have an established routine, if you already know, if your child already knows how to respond, what is expected from them, there's clarity around the fact that there will be consequences, or there will be different things, different set, you know, set of rules, and that they need to follow. I think that's, there's no reason why this should not be followed through. Actually, it's very good to follow through with this. If we deal with very, very challenging situations, I'm not sure, maybe you had this kind of experience in your teaching or your coaching, Dr. Scott, but when you really have defiant children who really are extremely defiant, what do you advise parents, or what's your strategy then?
Well, I certainly work with difficult children, and defiance is often right at the heart of what we're trying to address here. Children are self-willed. So we've got to that place, dealing with a teenager or a kid who's eight. I mean, any child can become quite defiant. Then we're trying to move a boulder, is what I say. Mm. And so we're moving slowly. We start with relationship building. We say, let's build our relationship together. And ways to do that. And we give ideas for relationship building with any child. Yeah. Then we do have a vision meeting. We say, look, you're doing well in a number of things. One of the things we're going to work on is cooperation. Cooperation, I think, is a good character quality to work on that cuts off the problem of defiance. And so there's going to be times when they call your name and you need to come right away. Or there's going to be times when they give you a task to do and you need to stop what you're doing and work on it. That's what we're going to work on. And so it doesn't happen instantly, but if parents change and they start requiring and they have expectations of what's going to happen, and then a child does that particular thing, and then the parent affirms the child, well, we see change take place. So yes, there are some children that are so defiant, they end up going into a, you know, like a home or some kind of a place that, like a horse camp that specializes in incorrigible kids. And then they can work on it. But I mean, there's so many things we can do at home. Let's work on this so we didn't have to go that direction.
Yeah.
And help bring about some change here.
Yeah. And I do really want to encourage parents to go to your website, biblicalparenting.org. There's so many resources there. Parents don't need to be doing this alone. If you are struggling with challenging situations at home with your children, don't feel you need to be doing this alone. There are so many resources and way you can be helped. So I would just really want to encourage parents to go through our episode, of course, but also go through the biblicalparenting.org. Dr. Scott, we're approaching the end of our episode, and we cannot cover everything we want to cover during this episode, but, you know, we talked about stubbornness, defiance, we talked about strong-willed children, how to deal with emotions, how to give consequences, the kind of answers we are expecting from our children. So are there specific things you maybe want to address now at the end?
Yeah, I would say that this is one area of the heart that needs to be addressed, but there are a number of areas in the heart, so we're not just going to focus on one thing, and there's lots of solutions. So And this, what we're talking about now actually comes from a new book that I wrote called How a Heart-Based Approach to Parenting Changes Everything. And people can find that book on my website. And that book itself has 13 chapters in it. And one of the chapters has to do with what do you do when kids say no? So if you go through and start looking at each one of the chapters, you start making progress. If we can see progress in one part of the heart, then it starts to affect other parts of the heart. So start working on it and watch God work and affirm children in the process. And, you know, I hear success stories regularly from folks that we work with and their coaches work with, because they're so grateful that they've learned something new about how to work with kids that has, is so much more powerful than the things that are often out there.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But also from my own experience. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott, for your wisdom and advice. And we will be available. You are, I know you are available also on social media and on your website. There's different ways parents can contact you, and via this podcast, people can contact me. If you have questions, feel free to share with them with us. And until next time, we really wish you a blessed rest of the week, and God bless you.